Carmela, do you remember how to say, I want a bottle of red wine in Italian?
Why would I forget? That's like the first thing you need to know, right?
Well, do
okay, it. Okay, let me think. Okay, vorrei un bottiglia di vino rosso.
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to learn about and taste a classic Italian wine called Chianti to see if the Costco Kirkland version is any good. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hello and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
You're back to your old intro.
I know. Well, I tried something different, and we're just going back.
Okay.
A quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and we taste and we give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each, and they should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is really made for people like you and me, Carmela. Mm. People who love wine but want to learn more about wine and maybe find some new wines to explore and maybe just feel more confident when we order and taste wines.
Okay.
So if that sounds like you, you're in the right place. And we invite you to taste a Chianti or some other wine you may have along with us while you listen as a fun way to participate. But again, not if you're driving.
Well, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do we need to say it again?
No. Okay. I think we do, actually. It's kind of like a public service announcement.
Okay.
Okay, and we're proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine from their October issue, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining. All right, Carmela, we are back with one of our popular Costco Kirkland brand wine challenge episodes.
Ooh.
And in these episodes, we choose a Kirkland signature wine, and those wines are really popular mm-hmm. and really well priced.
And easy to find.
And easy to find as long as you're a Costco member or you get a Costco gift card, which we've learned that you don't need a Costco membership if you get a Costco gift card.
It's the best thing.
That's a little hint for those of you out there
right,
in listening land.
Right.
Okay, and then we get one of those wines, Kirkland signature wines, and we taste it side by side with other similar wines to see how it stacks up.
All right.
Now, in the past, we've done like Cabernet Sauvignon, we've done Chardonnay, but this week, we're going to do a taste test for their Chianti Classico Reserva.
Mm.
And we'll talk about what Classico and Reserva mean.
Okay.
So, but that's later. That's later. Okay. Many of you listeners know that Carmela and I are of Italian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mentioned this many times that my father-in-law, Carmela's dad, Fiore, was really the one who introduced me to wine. Mm-hmm. And one of the first wines I remember drinking with your father was
a Chianti.
A Chianti. Oh. That's right. Now, Chianti.
Wow, that's not even his go-to.
No, it's not.
I mean, that was kind of, maybe he was
You know
like,
why? Do you know why? I know why. Because this was before he respected me and he didn't want to take out his expensive
wines. I didn't want to say it.
No,
I didn't want to say it.
He wanted to kind of test me out
Chianti's
first.
Can be, you can find it nice. I mean, you can find expensive ones.
Yeah,
how do you
can.
Know it wasn't expensive?
They're just not as expensive as Barolos
just not
and Brunellos.
That's not his preference.
No, it's not.
Wow, that's kind of, that answers a lot of questions
it
right
does.
There.
You know, I'm being tested.
Or brings up a lot of questions.
Yes, but I was being tested, it's true.
Should we ask him?
Yeah, we'll ask him. Okay. We'll ask him. If he's listening, you got to tell us, Dad. Okay, so Chianti Carmela, this may seem obvious. It's a very popular wine. It's made in Tuscany, Italy, which is the area of Italy where amazing cities like Florence and Siena and Pisa are located. Some cities that are among our favorites.
Right. Well traveled.
Chianti has not always had a great reputation. For a quick little bit of history, Chianti became popular in the U.S. in like the 1960s and 70s. But in the 80s, as it started to get overproduced, the quality of Chianti started going down.
Mm.
And then Chianti kind of, the reputation of the wine kind of dipped as well.
Mm.
And so in particular, we're talking about those bottles of Chianti that are what?
Ooh, they have the little basket
woven
around it.
That's right.
Ooh.
And those kind of became synonymous with cheap, crappy wine.
Kind of vinegary tasting.
Yeah. Reasonably priced, but not good.
Not good. Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
Here's a question for you, Carmela. Do you know what those wine bottles are called?
I don't know.
Well, that style of wine bottle is called a fiasco.
Oh, my goodness, we had this conversation.
Yeah, seriously.
Like.
Yeah, and it's a fiasco. What?
Why?
And,
why?
And I'll tell you why. It came way before those crappy bottles of wine.
Huh,
so there are several theories that I found on the interwebs. As you can imagine, there are lots of theories on the interwebs, okay? But there are lots of theories behind the origin of the connection of the word fiasco, or fiasco, as we say in English, mm-hmm. with disaster. But one story that I like that I found on a website called World Wide Words, and there's a link to it in our show notes and all that fine stuff if you go to our website and look for this episode and blah, blah, blah. Okay. They explain that fiasco is related to the English word for flask. So there's So there's a connection there. And the
because you like turn into a fiasco if you drink from a flask?
That could be it.
Okay.
But here's what they said. The phrase fare fiasco, which means to make, fare mm-hmm. is to make a fiasco or a bottle, mm-hmm. started to be used among Italian theater and opera people in the 1700s.
Wow.
And when they used it, they meant we had a bad performance, like we screwed up. So fare fiasco meant...
So you had to drink a fiasco.
No, it had nothing to do... Maybe it's because like you drank a fiasco, but evidently it might be related to the fact that Chianti bottles actually needed that wicker basket so they would stay upright. I guess they had a tendency to kind of like fall over. So the wicker basket, I don't know, they were hand blown. You know, it's not like they had mass production,
weird.
Right?
Okay.
So that's where, there you go.
Wow. So, and I would never have known all these years. It took over 50 years to learn all this.
Wow.
Just gave that one away.
The truth comes out. Okay. Now, if anybody out there in listening land knows another story or what they think is actually the true story of fiasco, let us know.
Okay.
Go to our website, send an email, whatever. You can figure it out. But you let us know, and we'll give you a prize. Mm. I don't know what the prize is, but we'll give you something.
It'll be a fiasco.
That's right. Okay, so over the last couple of decades, though, Carmela, Chianti has had a resurgence in popularity and in respect. A lot like me, people respect me more.
What?
I've become more popular.
You mean you went through a fiasco stage?
I think you would say most of my life has been a fiasco. Okay. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Chianti, where it comes from, the grapes it's made from, and other fun stuff. And then we're going to taste that Costco Kirkland brand Chianti to see how it compares to other well-rated Chianti Classicos to see, you know, and then we're going to see, what do we think? But first...
Oh, boy. You got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. I'm going to change it up a little bit because you guys may like kind of tune out at this part. So you got to tune in.
Right, right.
So you can hear some different stuff.
We need to keep everybody on their toes.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. So thanks to all of you who have been leaving ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you leave a review, in the review itself, let us know if there is a wine we have talked about or reviewed in our podcast that has changed your mind.
Changed your life.
Changed your life, changed your mind, or changed your wife.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Because we think it would be really fun to hear that and read about that in a review, and then we'll talk about it on our show. About that. And we want to thank all of you who have subscribed too. And if you haven't done so yet, now's a really good time. And it's super easy. You just press that little subscribe button. It's just a little
press
button.
It. Click it.
It's not hard to press a button.
No.
It's like an easy button, but it says subscribe on it.
Wow.
Just press it. Look, good things will happen to you if you press it. Karma. Karma.
Right.
Good karma. And then if you want to get our show notes and links to articles, or you want to reach out to us, you can head to our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can follow us on Instagram and send us any fun or funny comments. We'd love to hear from you. And as we do every week, we need to tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And again, we're adjusting it a little bit to talk about trigger words, cue words, trigger words.
Mm.
When you hear this word, whoever said it, you just say
fiasco.
That's right. The word this week is fiasco.
I don't know if people use that word very often.
Guaranteed. When you have a cue like this, you will start hearing it.
I think that same thing last week.
Yeah.
You will start hearing
fiasco. And when you do, you say, oh my God, fiasco. I just learned about that. Listen to the Wine Pair Podcast.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
Cool?
I love it. Okay. We're going to see. And you have to tell us how many times you heard that word.
Yeah. And we'll also give you a prize for that.
And we're just sending that word around. Like we're just, you know, we're like one of those Alexa people. And we just put like ideas
Alexa
in people's.
Alexa people.
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking.
It's like the Stepford Wives. Alexa people.
We just put ideas in people's heads. And we're just,
I like it.
Okay.
And we're listening to you.
Right.
Just like Alexa.
I like Alexa.
Okay. We're going to learn a little bit more about Chianti, Carmela. Chianti is typical of many European wines where the wine is named after the region and not the grape, right? So in reality, Chianti wine is made from or mostly from. So it's unique in this way, the grape Sangiovese. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But Chianti typically only needs to be about 70 to 80% Sangiovese to be called a Chianti.
Ah.
There are rules. There are rules because it's in a designated area for Chianti, and we'll talk about that. But it doesn't have to be 100% Sangiovese.
Okay.
And on a side note, you may be starting to see you, when I say you, I mean you out there in listening land,
mm-hmm.
you may be starting to see more and more Sangiovese being grown in different parts of the world, including other parts of Italy.
Oh.
So if it's grown in Italy.
So now, just like in recent years?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like US, Argentina. Uh-huh. And there's another famous wine from Tuscany, where Chianti is from, that's also made from Sangiovese, and it's called Brunello di Montalcino, and it's one of the most expensive wines around.
Oh, wow.
And it's made from 100% Sangiovese. Mm. So different area, 100% that grape, and considered like kind of top of the Tuscan wines. And then there are some really good wines made from Sangiovese that are in other areas of Italy, but they can't be called Chianti because they are not made in the Chianti area.
Mm.
Now, Chianti is made in the Chianti region of Italy, as I just said. I just said that.
You did.
And it was designated as a DOC, which is a designation that says, hey, the government is guaranteeing that this is the wine that we say it is, and it's made in a certain way. And that happened in the 1960s. There are actually different areas in Chianti, which I was always really surprised to find.
Hmm.
So here's a for instance. One of the areas of Chianti is actually Chianti Classico. So that's a specific area of Chianti.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big general area called Chianti. And within it, there are several like smaller designations. And one of those is Chianti Classico. So it's not just a name that they put on the bottle. It has to do with the region where it's from. In the general area of Chianti, the wine must be made from at least 70% Sangiovese. And then there are a few other grapes that you can include, including Cabernet, Merlot, Syrah, and some other ones that I don't know about, like Canaiolo Nero and Colorino. Now, because of the challenges that came with Chianti production, the overproduction when it started getting really crappy in the 1980s, that's when they created this new designation for Chianti. And they also ratcheted up the expectations of the quality of Chianti overall. Mm-hmm. So in 1984, they upgraded Chianti to a DOCG, which means that little G on the end means it's guaranteed. It's going to be this wine. It's going to be high quality, etc. And then in 1996, they actually added the DOCG Chianti Classico as a separate, it's still in the same kind of general area, but it's a smaller piece of it.
Mm.
Chianti Classico has higher requirements than Chianti. It has to be 80% Sangiovese, 80% or more Sangiovese, and it has to be aged at least 10 to 12 months before it's released. And then there's a Chianti Riserva.
Mm.
And a Riserva, one of which the Kirkland is a Riserva, has to be aged for 2 to 3 years. And then there's an even higher one now called Gran Selezione.
Whoa, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, we have some. And it's supposed to come from the best vineyards, and it has to be aged at least 30 months.
Ah.
Now, interesting note, going back to what you said about your father, Carmela.
Hmm.
Chianti is actually not my favorite Italian wine. I don't think it's your father's favorite Italian wine.
That's why I was like,
Yeah, I know.
Wait a minute. So, that was the first time you drank wine with him?
Well, no, let's just say for a number of years, he would just bust out the Chianti because he's
that's
like,
it?
This swine, like, what is it? That's what your great-grandfather would say.
Yes,
this swine, he doesn't deserve the Barolla. Now we're like, we're busted out. I guarantee that's what he'll say.
Huh.
No, actually, for him, I think Chianti's more of like your everyday wine.
Mm-hmm. Do you drink Chianti with him now ever?
On a Tuesday or something, if we're like hanging out on vacation, he might bust out the Chianti, but usually not on a Sunday night dinner.
Okay.
Like it's Barolos. Now that he's getting older, you know, he's being more generous with his wine because he wants to drink it.
Of course.
Before he dies.
He's not going anywhere anyway. But, jeez.
Sometimes I find that Sangiovese made in other areas of Italy I like a little bit better, like those from like the Emilia-Romagna area. I think I can find sometimes, and we'll taste this tonight, we'll see if we find this tonight, that sometimes it's a little bit astringent, and it's definitely a food wine.
Okay.
Like you need to have food with it.
Okay.
There are some great foods that pair with Chianti. Probably ones you would kind of think of, like Italian food, right? Like red sauce and pizza and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Carmela,
what?
This was a long, long time ago. But in college, you spent time in Siena, which is in Tuscany.
Right.
So what are some foods that you associate with Tuscany that would probably be, and those would probably be good pairings with Chianti.
Well, the funny thing is we didn't need to eat food with our Chianti.
What does that mean? You just drank the Chianti.
We didn't even hardly need a glass. We just needed to make sure we had a bottle opener.
Una bottiglia. Yeah.
Yeah. And a bottle opener. And that's all we really needed. It. But you know what I have to say? You know, college years in Siena is a long time ago. And we spent a lot of time really with very rustic type of dinners too. So sometimes we would just have like bread and salumi or salami, you know, different meats and cheeses.
Cheese, yeah.
And sometimes that's what we would enjoy with a bottle of Chianti.
It tasted great, right? Maybe a little bit of tomato, olive oil.
We did, you know, there were some days when we would do some pasta dishes with, and sometimes they would be kind of a tomato-based pasta. But really, I feel like a lot of what we were drinking with that Chianti were just really basic charcuterie type of plates.
Which is kind of like a not an atypical kind of way to eat in Europe.
Right, right.
Now, but there were a few places that you really liked that were...
Well, and also we went to Enotecas, and at the Enotecas, they didn't feed you anything. Again, it was just wine tasting. Not that I recall. Maybe a breadstick.
Boy, it was different when we were in like Genoa and when we were in like Verona. They always gave you some food.
It was like maybe some breadsticks.
Now I'm trying to go to... You had a couple of places, maybe not in Siena, but I think there was one in Florence, and there was a couple of places that you went to that you talked about. One was like a sandwich place, and one was a pizza place.
Right. Antico Noi.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Franca e Carla?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
And do you remember what used to...
Yes. Again, Antico Noi, though, was a takeout sandwich place. It was lunch only. But those sandwiches would be delicious with the Chianti. And they were paninis. They were press sandwiches, just like, you know, the trend of today of press panini. But you would get anything you wanted. And I would usually get, you know, really more like
caprese.
And sometimes we would do some prosciutto on it. The same kind of thing. Those paninis were delicious with the Chianti.
And then what about your pizza?
Oh, due insieme.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Due insieme for all those out there who don't know.
That was, again, there was a little hole in the wall. No wine
there.
That was
in Siena, right?
It was in Siena.
Because Antico Noi was in Florence.
It was, yeah. But the one...
What is it? Something in Carla?
See, this is what happens when you don't have a script.
Yeah, I know. What was it? Something in Carla?
Franca e Carla. And that Franco e Carla, that was in Siena also. And there we'd have pizza, calzones, and we'd have a bottle of Chianti almost always.
But talk about the Dewey and
Siena. Was it like a lunch thing? Again, would be perfect with Chianti. Basically, you'd go in there. There are big, actually rectangular pizzas, and they'd slice them up, you know, into like squares, and you go, oggi due insieme. So today I want two together. And they just take the two and they
plop them on top of each other.
It's like a pizza sandwich.
Oh, it sounds good.
It was so good.
Oh, man. I'm getting a little hungry. But those are the kinds of foods that go really well with a Chianti.
Are we having pizza tonight?
Maybe. But I do think Chianti, again, like we've said this before, Italians call wine the fifth food group.
Right.
And I think especially with a very acidic wine like Chianti, you really need it with food. And it's actually way better with food. Like, I think if you think you don't like Chianti, it may be because you're just trying to drink it by itself. Right, I think you really do need it with food.
You need a glass, you need to have a corkscrew, and you need to have food.
Yeah, some sort of food. Unless you're 20 years old and in college, and then it doesn't matter.
And then it is the fifth food group, which means sometimes that's all you have.
It is the food group. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go to the wines that we chose for this episode.
Okay.
So as usual, all the wines are under $20 and all of them should be relatively easy to find because, first of all, one of them is from Costco. And although I picked up the other two at wine.com, Costco has sold one of them in the past. And you know what? You can find Chianti Classico, even
everywhere.
Even Chianti Classico Reserva, any decent wine section, you can find Chianti.
I feel like people mostly associate Chianti as an Italian wine.
Sure. Like if they're thinking Italian red, they're like,
they think
Chianti.
Sometimes I think it probably drives people like my dad crazy because of all the other regions
of Italy.
Delicious wine.
Great wines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I wanted the other Chiantis that I chose to be wines that had ratings from reputable reviewers, which means reviewers we like. And so James Suckling, although I think he did review one of these wines, we don't care. And ironically, the Costco Kirkland Chianti was reviewed by James Suckling, and you're gonna be shocked by this, he gave it a 92.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like in the 80s
no.
or something.
No, yeah, he gave it a 92. Of course he gave it a 92.
So you know why? He really liked it as you much as he likes everything else.
Yeah, exactly. You know why he did that? Because he wanted his sticker with his name on it all over Costco or whatever.
Wait,
that guy.
You mean anyway. If you do a 92 or above, then you get a sticker?
I think there's a sticker on this wine.
Wow.
Yeah, so the first wine we are going to drink, yes, is the Costco Kirkland Chianti Classico Reserva. And again, it's a Reserva, so it's one step beyond the Chianti Classico. So it's made in the Chianti Classico region, and because it's a Reserva, it has to have been aged for 2 to 3 years. So
okay.
It's got some aging.
Hmm.
And then although Costco won't always say who makes their wines, according to a website I found called the Liquor Laboratory, their Chianti Classico is actually, they name it. So it's made by Villa Cafaggio Estate Winery, and it's imported by Ithaca Wines. So that's actually pretty unusual that you know the source of the Kirkland wines, like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Hmm.
And we're drinking the 2019 version, which is the one that James Suckling gave a 92 to. I think they may be on to the 2020 version in a lot of Costco's, but we're going to be drinking the 2019, so just so you know that. And a few online sites like the Reverse Wine Swab, they often rate Costco wines. They've rated this wine highly, and they noted that the Villa Cafaggio $10 Chianti Classico was the best $10 Chianti Classico they'd ever tasted.
Wow.
So,
as far as $10...
Yeah. I guess.
Costco's go.
But they also did say that they think the 2020 version is crap.
Ooh.
So this is the 2019.
Okay, wow.
If this is a good wine, it was $8.99, it's going to be a killer, right? Like that's a killer deal.
Mm-hmm.
The second wine we're drinking is called Castello di Albla Chianti Classico, and it was given a 90 rating by Wine Spectator. So we like Wine Spectator. And from some of the information that I was able to find online, the winery makes sustainable and organic wines. They're a relatively new production house. They've been around for about 40 years, which actually in Tuscany is really young.
Mm.
Like a lot of the wineries and vineyards and et cetera in Tuscany have been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So while that doesn't sound super new, 40 years old in Tuscany is new.
Mm.
Okay. Beyond that, I couldn't find a lot else about it. So let's go to the third wine. The third wine we're going to taste is called Castello di Quercerto Chianti Classico, and it's also a 2020 Chianti Classico like the Castello di Albla. But one difference with this wine is that it is not 100% Sangiovese. I think the other two are 100% Sangiovese. This one is 92% Sangiovese, and the final 8% is a combination of local Tuscan grapes like Canaiolo, Colorino, Mammolo, and Cielegiolo, I think. It's something like that.
Mm.
And they've been making wine at this winery for over 100 years.
Wow.
And the Chianti Classico they have is aged in oak for 6 months and then in the bottle for at least 2 months before it's released. So, Carmela, we have two Chianti Classicos that we're going to compare with good ratings that we're going to compare to the Costco Kirkland brand, which is a Chianti Classico Reserva. And so I think we're being really fair. I think we're being really fair that although we have two Chianti Classicos that are highly rated, the Chianti Classico Reserva, that is the Kirkland brand, should be a better quality.
Hmm.
So it's going to have a fighting chance for
sure.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see.
So are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to open up these bottles of wine, which I should have probably already opened, and we're going to taste them.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first Chianti. This is the Kirkland Signature Chianti Classico Reserva. It's from Tuscany, Italy. It has to be, right? This is the 2019. Remember, this is the 2019. It was $8.99 at Costco, which is an amazing price. 13.5% alcohol. And as far as I know, it's 100% Sangiovese. I couldn't find any other mentions of different grapes. And James Suckling, when it does, when you go to our Instagram during the week, you'll be able to find it. There is a little sticker that says 92 points from James Suckling. Mm-hmm. So what are you smelling on this one, Carmelita? Oh my God, she's coughing.
That's again the, woo, strong. Smells strong.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like maybe tart cherry.
That's what I'm getting, cherry. Mm-hmm. That's the
tart,
smell.
Tart though?
Yeah,
or
for
what?
Sure.
Yeah, kind
tart
of
cherry.
And it's maybe a little bit of smoke.
A little smoke, a little leather. I think I'm getting like a little shoe leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting, a little leather.
Yeah, it's a little earthy or even maybe tar.
A little tar. Mm. That tar and roses is a very classic,
oh, right.
Like Nebbiolo. I'm not smelling roses. It's a little bit more cherry.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's taste it.
I like it.
It's not bad. No. I will say this is kind of This is a Chianti Classico or Chianti. It's a little astringent.
Yeah.
It's a little alcohol-y. Mm-hmm. It's a little, like, it's tight. Like, right. It doesn't, I don't know how to explain it. It feels just like, it's just on a certain part of your tongue and that's it.
Right. It's not super complex.
No.
It's sort of simple, sort of a simple wine.
Yeah. But it's not, I think this is nice.
It's smoother than I thought it was going to be.
Very smooth.
The smell is strong.
Yeah. It's got good acidity. It dries off really fast. It's got a nice cherry, but I can taste a little bit of that smoke or wood or cedar.
Mm-hmm. Is it young, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's young. I mean, a Chianti can age for 5-ish years, maybe 8 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a super long.
Not a huge change either, maybe?
It'll mellow out. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I think it's pleasant for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It needs food. So what food would you have with this?
It's bringing me right back to Siena.
To Siena and Dewey and CMA. We're going to have Dewey and CMA tonight. Maybe we'll pizza. Dewey and CMA together.
Ooh, what does that mean? That's frightening. What?
I don't know. I'm coughing.
Wait. Okay, I'm not even going to ask any more questions.
Okay.
But no, that would be a really nice wine. Or this is a really nice wine with a dish, with pizza.
Pizza,
doesn't even
red
have
sauce,
to be
chicken parmigiana. Like don't you think? Like chicken parmigiana.
Lasagna.
Tomato sauce. I feel like tomato sauce would be really good with this.
Anything like lasagna or eggplant parmesan, you said?
I did. Yeah. Chicken parmesan.
And chicken parmesan. Anything like that would be.
Kind of feel like it needs.
Or caprese.
Yeah. It's funny because we keep talking about things. Well, caprese doesn't necessarily, but maybe things with a little bread or a little thickness
a little
to
breading.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like,
well, you get some bread and you put that caprese right on it.
You know what you could do? You could get a slice of pizza, chicken parmigiana, put a chicken parmigiana on, and then on top of it, put a piece of lasagna, and then on top of that, a slice of pizza.
What about the parmesan, the eggplant parmigiana?
That's for dessert.
Oh, my kind of dinner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, what else? Anything else?
I just think this is a very much, and maybe because it's a Chianti, but it's just an Italian food wine.
Totally.
Italian food wine for sure.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, it's nice.
I think it could do well with like grilled foods. I think it would be good with that, like grilled sausage or something like that. Mm. But for sure. Yeah, I mean, you could have a steak with it, but I don't think it's a really like thick steak wine. I don't feel like it.
I'm almost thinking even like a pizza, you just need like a thin pizza.
Yeah.
Not even a thick, you know.
Not even a thick. You don't need a Chicago style.
No.
You need a nah.
Now.
Okay. Wow. On that note, let's rate it.
Okay.
And I'm going to give our friends out there a reminder on our rating scale. So we rate on a scale of 1 to 10. There's no half numbers. It's all whole numbers, Carmela.
Wow.
So a scale of 1 to 10, 7 and above means we're going to buy it. We like it and we're going to buy it. 4 or below means not only do we not like it, we're probably going to toss it out the sink. Toss it out the sink?
Wow.
Toss the sink out with it. No.
What?
We're going to pour it down the sink.
Okay.
Toss it.
We're going to toss it down.
I tried to put sink and toss together. And you don't toss a sink.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It would hurt somebody and it's super heavy. You could throw out your back.
You could hurt somebody else and yourself.
And yourself at the same time.
Yes. And a 5, this is the longest explanation ever. And a 5 or 6 means, you know, we like it. We'll drink.
Meh.
It's okay. It's okay. Menza, menza. Like, it's okay.
Menza.
You know, it's like, all right, I'll drink it. Yeah, I'm not going to buy it, but I'll drink it. I won't toss it out. I won't say, hey, Carlo.
You won't toss the sink?
Hey, Carla, give me that different wine.
Wow.
I don't know what that was.
Un'altra bottiglia di vino rosso.
Wow. Un'altra, isn't it?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Bottiglia.
Un'altra, I don't know.
Un'altra,
anyway,
probably.
Okay, so what rating are you?
Are you the Italian police?
Okay, what rating are you going to give?
That was pretty good. Polizia?
Polizia.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Good job.
What rating are you? That's police in Italian, if you couldn't figure that one out.
Right.
Okay, what rating are you going to give this vino rosso?
Okay, so I really feel like I need to try the other ones first.
That's cheating.
I know, because I'm not a huge Chianti fan myself.
Oh.
But I think that, like, I feel like I would buy this, and I think people would enjoy it that enjoy Chianti.
Okay, so what are you going to give it?
So I think right now I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm going to give it a 7 as well. How about that?
Okay,
so we're going to take a little break, mm-hmm. and then we're going to try our next Chianti Classico. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Castello di Albola Chianti Classico. This is also from Chianti Classico in Italy and Tuscany. This is a 2020. This was $15.99, so nearly twice as much as the other wine. Got it at wine.com. 13.5% alcohol, same as the last one. And again, I think this is 100% Sangiovese. I couldn't find any evidence of different grapes. And this is the one that Wine Spectator gave a 90, which is a very good rating. So what are you smelling, Carmela?
Well, I think it's pretty similar to the last one.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Still getting kind of a tart or unripe cherry, and it smells alcohol-y to me.
Yeah, it does. It does smell a little hot. We'll say, I think this one's a little darker than the last one. The last one was light, like almost like a Pinot Noir color.
Which I almost feel like Chiantis are...
They're lighter.
They're lighter, and they're almost, they're not as pretty as some. Or this, I don't know. Like, this is a little cloudier. Looking? Not cloudy,
I
but
get what
you
you're
know,
saying. It's almost
like
a little
brown.
Bit,
like, it's almost yeah. like a little bit of a brown hue.
Hugh, who's Hugh? Hugh know who Hugh is?
You know who
Hugh,
is.
Hugh don't know.
Hi,
okay.
Hugh.
No, that was dumb. That was a dad joke. Okay. I'm smelling that too, but I feel like this one is even stronger. Like the smells are stronger than the last one in terms of like wood and maybe some matchstick and leather. I'm just getting a stronger, almost a stronger, like a richer smell.
Okay.
Richer
yeah,
smell.
Yeah, I think
deeper,
so. Yeah.
Deeper.
But they even smell
how deep is
hotter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of hotter.
Are you feeling hot?
Yeah, hot.
Wow.
Yeah, let's taste
okay.
it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's different.
Mm. It's softer.
It is.
It's not quite as astringent.
No, it's not. It's actually, it is. It's mellower.
And it's richer. A little richer. Taste. You know, it smells a little richer. It tastes a little richer.
Who's
it,
rich?
You know, Hugh's friend. But I think it's it lingers on the tongue Richard. A little bit longer. It's not quite as, but it's not as quite as astringent. It's got a richer, don't say it. Don't say Richard or Hugh or anything. But it's got a little bit more of a, like a cherry, almost a cherry licorice-y kind of taste.
Okay.
Like a sweet cherry. Mm. I feel like it's a sweet cherry. Yeah, you were having cherries tonight.
I did.
You had cherries. Do you think they taste like a cherry?
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm tasting cherry on it, even though I just had cherries.
But I mean, does it taste like the cherries that you ate?
A little bit. Okay. And those were kind of tart cherries.
And they were red.
They weren't black.
They weren't
black.
They were red
no,
cherries.
They weren't quite. Yeah. And they were a little, not underripe, but they were not to the point where they were a little almost soft.
Soft. Yeah, they weren't.
And this is tasting more like that, like a little, but not as underripe as the last one.
The that last one was tart.
It just tasted young to me, too. This one seems a little more ready.
Well, it's interesting, too, because that was a 2019. This is a 2020, but that was a Reserva. So, you know, it probably could last a little bit longer. But I like this.
I like this, too.
What would you eat with this? Anything different than
I'm trying to think.
Due NCMA?
I think this is, well, you can have Due NCMA all day long, but every day. I do think this is a little more, not formal, but it's just a little fancier.
You know, I think you're right.
Feeling.
I think you're right. Like the last one tasted to me like a pizza wine. That's a pizza wine.
Pizza sandwiches.
$8.99. Salami. Great.
Like, it's kind of like a picnic wine.
Mm-hmm.
This one I think is a little more
dinner
elegant.
Wine. It's a dinner wine. You're going to have a nice pasta with this, with some red sauce.
Truffles.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. You know, your brother makes it. What does he put? He makes the pasta. You did this the other night too, and you put the
ricotta.
Ricotta in it, like in the bowl.
Right, on top of it, and then maybe a little arugula, like a little spicy arugula would be nice with this too.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
They would complement each other.
The last one I didn't think could handle a steak. This one could handle a steak 100%.
For sure.
Easy. So this is, to me, is a little bit more complex. It's a little bit more elegant. And I would say, like, for a Chianti, it's pretty nice. Like, it's pretty rich and it's pretty... This is a little bit more red wine kind of, if you're like, red wine, I want a red wine. It's a little bit more down that.
Who does it? I want red wine.
I don't know. Somebody does it. Somebody goes, red wine, I want a red wine.
Wow. Frightening.
Yeah.
But no, I think this is a nice wine.
What rating might you give this wine? You give the last one a 7. You can go back and change. You did say I want to taste the other ones.
Right. Okay, so right now I'm
going to... But what, I will say what, this. What? We do try to be sort of absolute. By that, I mean, if it's a wine you would buy, it's a wine you would buy. It's not like, even if this one was better than the last one, in your opinion... I still don't think that means if you were going to buy the last one, I don't know that you'd necessarily say,
well,
I'm not going to buy
it. Okay, I'm going to say I'm going to give this one a 7 then also.
Really?
What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
I think it's better.
I do.
I think it's better than the Kirkland.
I do too.
And if I were going to buy, I would buy them both, but I'd buy them for different reasons. Okay.
Different people.
People I don't like as much. I would buy the Kirkland one. Well, but honestly, to me, that's a party wine. You're out.
Right.
Like outside, like you said, a picnic wine. You're outside. You need to get a whole bunch of wine because there's a whole bunch of people coming over. $8.99, it's a good wine. Like that's a nice wine.
You can buy that all day. Drink it all day. Yeah. Buy it all day.
This wine, I think, is a little bit more. You save it for
a dinner party.
Or even myself. Like I would, you know, I'd save it for like.
All right. Self-care. You need a little self-care day.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody needs a little self-care.
Right. Tonight, I'm going to buy the Albola.
Not Ebola, but Albola.
What is it?
Albola.
Albola. No, it's A-L-B-O-A. Albola.
Wait, it's Albola.
Oh, I don't have an O. Okay, cut that out. Albola.
I think you have a...
I have A-L-B-E-L-A. Okay.
Oh, boy. I didn't tell you. Okay. On that note, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our last wine.
Let's knock this out. Oh. Wow. No.
Okay. We are back and we're ready to try our last wine. Carla's ready to knock it out.
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Castello. This is the Castello di Querceto Chianti Classico. If it's a C-E or a C-I, it's Cha. Just remember
Che or G.
Okay, fine. But it makes a ch sound. Okay. This is from Italy, Chianti Classico region in Tuscany. This is also a 2020. This was also $15.99. I got it at wine.com, but I've also seen it sold at Costco. This is only 13% alcohol. And this was the one. It's 92% Sangiovese, 8% Canaiolo, Colorino, Mammolo, e Ciliegilo.
Whoa.
Now, this one got some professional ratings that are a little bit varied. James Suckling, of course, gave it a 92. But Wine Spectator gave it a 91, and Robert Parker gave it an 88. Interesting. But what are you smelling on this one, Carmela?
They all actually smell quite a bit alike, but I'm getting a little more of like a red licorice on this, like a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, to me, this is even richer than the last one. Mm-hmm. Little warmer, like it's got a richer smell, a little warmer, a little less astringent. You know, the first one you said smelled a little hot. Mm-hmm. Alcohol. This one does not.
No, it doesn't.
No, and it's got like I get the cherry licorice, but I'm also getting like a cherry, just a good old-fashioned cherry.
Oh, an old-fashioned one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little less. It just doesn't have as much of the... It's got some spice on it. A little spice on it.
I can kind of get that, too. Kind of some warm spices.
Yeah.
Some baking spices. But like rich ones, like cloves.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting pepper, too, a little bit?
I think some pepper. I'm getting like the tiniest, faintest bit of tar, but it's like a... Mm. It's more like a warm... It's just a warm, spicy smell.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It's very nice. I think it's very nice. Okay, let's taste it and see what we think.
Okay.
Oh, this is nice.
Ooh.
It's similar to the last one, but it's even like mellower.
I like it.
It's pretty rich.
Yeah, it is. And it's so much less...
acidic.
Yeah, acidic and astringent. And
totally.
Much smoother. It's more tannic.
Yeah.
Than the other two.
I think so too. I think you're right. It's probably been in barrels maybe a little bit longer or a little bit more wood on it, but it lacks that. It doesn't have the bite, like the sharpness. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes a Chianti can be kind of, you know, like sharp. It tastes sharp. Mm-hmm. The first one, the Kirkland one, tastes
more of
sharp.
A classic Chianti.
It's sharp.
Mm-hmm. Almost a little touch of vinegar in that first one.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that, but I know what you're getting at. There's that sharpness to it, like a tang to it almost. Mm-hmm. This one is mellow. This one's mellow and smooth. It's pretty nice. Yeah, it's pretty nice wine. Mm. This is a little different.
What different would you have to eat with this than we've already talked about? Anything else?
You know, sometimes I talk about like wild boar.
Whoa.
You know, like I think this is a meat wine.
Gamey.
Not gamey. Wild boar is a typical kind of Tuscan thing.
Oh.
Your brother keeps telling me there's wild boars running around Rome. I don't know. Mm. A bolognese or something with meat.
Cornelia.
Not rabbit. I wouldn't have. I mean, you could have rabbit with it, but I don't know.
Or they eat a lot of horse meat, too.
We're not just Cavalia. Being weird. They do have horse meat.
Horse meat and rabbit meat.
When we were in Verona, we were actually staying at an Airbnb, and right around the corner was a horse meat butcher shop. Mm.
Okay, what about duck?
Well, sure. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of some rich meats that might
duck
hold
I could
up
see.
To this.
Mm-hmm. Duck I can see.
Is duck considered white meat?
I think it's in the white meat family, but it is a
dark meat of the white meat.
No, okay, so here's a question. Like a chicken or a turkey is considered like a white meat, but it has dark meat.
Well,
so which
same
is
as
it?
Chicken. We're, like its thigh is kind of dark meat, right? But it's not a dark meat.
What in the hell are we talking
about? I don't
about
know.
Right now,
okay, but anyway, duck is kind of, is duck all dark meat?
Oh my God. I don't know.
Okay, anyway, but people say that duck is quite rich. So would this stand up?
Yes, I think it could. I've said this now 12 times.
Okay, so one more time.
No, I really like this wine. I don't know what to say. It's a really nice, well-made, rich wine. I think this is a, to me, this is another kind of elegant. It is a little, you are looking at the color. Pretty. It's a little darker, but it's not like the last one you said was kind of brown. This one's a little bit more rich, like a, like a purpley kind of color. It's nice.
Right. And this, again, would be really nice at a dinner party.
I think so too.
It's not like utterly casual like that. First one just felt very casual. Yeah. This one I think is definitely, you're going to have a nice.
I'd serve this to your father. Oh. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, serve it that's to your big. Father. That's big. Okay.
What rating might you give this wine, Carmela?
So I'm going to give this one an 8.
Okay. I'm going to give this one an 8 too. I like it better. I like it the best of the three, but I don't know how much I like it better than the last one. The last one was very good.
Yes.
I don't know if I could say why.
Fight
I would.
It out.
Yeah, like, so I like them both. So which one of these, Carmela, are you finishing tonight?
Well, I actually think, I think I would have this third one. This credit shape, though.
I think I will too. And it to, it also, to me, it had the coolest bottle. It's got like this picture of a horse.
It's a unicorn.
Or unicorn. Well, you know, is a unicorn a horse?
No.
It's its own thing.
Because it's mythical. It's not real, honey.
What?
I think not.
Okay. I'll take your word for that. Okay. Okay. No, but very good. So question for you before we go to the taste profiles. In this challenge, this Costco Kirkland Chianti challenge, who won? Kirkland or the other guys?
Well, I got to say, Kirkland always hits it with the price.
The price.
So you can't, the first one is a nice wine and again, could be a picnic and it could be a crowd pleaser for a big outdoor barbecue.
Yeah.
But I think that Kirkland's Chianti didn't quite hit all the marks.
The marks. I agree. So I think the other guys beat Kirkland.
On
but
this not, one.
But it wasn't like
a knockout.
It wasn't
a landslide. No.
No, it wasn't. It was just by decision.
Right.
You know, it was 15 round by decision.
And some people actually might prefer
first one. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the taste profiles expected from a Chianti. From Wine Folly, this is in general. Cherry, plum, tomato leaf.
Tomato leaf. Interesting.
Leather and clay pot. They also, other things can include red fruits, dried herbs, balsamic vinegar, smoke, and game. Mm-hmm. Sour cherries, dried oregano, balsamic reduction, dry salami espresso, and sweet tobacco.
That was interesting, the balsamic reduction.
Yeah, because you were getting that. Well, you were getting vinegar. Mm-hmm. Okay, Costco, the reverse wine snob, says of the 2019 classic Chianti, aromas of sour cherry, earth, a bit of spice, licorice, and even a little mint. And the Costco wine blog, red fruit and spice on the nose and the mouth. It is medium in body with more red fruit on the palate, flavors of cherry, anise, with earthy undertones. Okay. I didn't see was, I don't think I would call it medium in body. If it's medium, it's really lightly medium.
Right, I agree.
Okay. Castello di Albola Wine Spectator says it offers fine depth to the cherry, plum, and woodsy aromas with iron, tobacco, and herb flavors. And Binney's, another website, says ruby red, bursting with strawberry, red berries, and notes of sage, spice cake, and subtle earth. Medium-bodied, lively cherry, and exotic spice. Mm. And the Castello di Quercetto Costco wine blog says garnet in color, medium body, black cherry, blackberry with leather and earth. Okay, Carmela, so how did we do? We did okay.
We did okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were getting cherry. For sure we were getting cherry.
Absolutely. And a lot of that earth and
a little bit of licorice.
Right.
Maybe some leather. They didn't say as much leather, I don't feel like.
No. But no, I think we did okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun.
That was super fun.
We'll do more of these. People seem to like these, especially like when for searches, people seem to search for these wines a lot. So,
well, I do think the comparisons, because people want to know, do they need to venture outside of Costco ever?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to. I like to stay there all day.
Well, and the thing is, it's not like Costco doesn't sell other types, other brands of wine.
Right. That aren't just Kirkland.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think what you got to do, like we do, is you just got to taste around and see what you think.
Right.
See
it's just an excuse to like have a little tasting party.
That's right. Hmm. Okay. So Carmela, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be a really awesome time
To push that button.
To push that subscribe button. And also a really awesome-y time to leave a nice rating and review on our website. Remember, if you leave a review, talk about a wine that we've talked about that changed your mind or changed your life or changed your wife.
Whoa. We didn't want to get anybody in trouble.
No. And it's an awesome, these are both awesome and free ways to support us.
Awesome-y?
So we really awesome. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear from you. So you can leave us a message on our website and you can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast. And you can follow us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast, where you can see pictures of these wines. And we're posting some weird and different pictures that you can also see. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's fun. I think it's fun.
How have they been received?
Well, oh, amazing.
Are people just like laughing their butts off?
Butts. You said butt. Okay, with that butt, we're going to sign off. And so thank you again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking. I said stop. Stop for drinking shitty wine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And the happy ending at the end of our story. I was thinking too much.